Let's open our Bibles this morning to John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. And we're going to starting a brand new series here that we've entitled The Way. John chapter 14, look at verse number 5. It says this, Thomas said to him, talking to Jesus, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in our service where we pause and we just invite you to speak to our hearts. And Lord, I only have the ability to reach someone's ears. That's it. The Holy Spirit is the one who reaches down into our hearts and speaks to us. And God, I pray now that your Holy Spirit would have freedom to move into each of our hearts and speak to us with exactly what we need today. God, we have some believers among us and some people watching online that are just so down and discouraged. And God, what they need this morning is they need some encouragement. And I pray the Comforter would come and just encourage them today. God, we have some people that maybe they've wandered astray from you. They're like Jonah. They're running down their own path away from what you have for them. God, I pray your Spirit would convict them and cause them to turn around and get right with you, God. Lord, we may have some people in the room or some people watching online that have never trusted Jesus Christ to be their Savior. They're still lost. They're still condemned on their way to an eternity in the lake of fire. And God, I pray that your Spirit would convict them of their sin and help them to see that Jesus is the only way. And they would put their faith and trust in Jesus and give their lives to him today and be gloriously saved. Lord, work in our hearts as only you can, and we will give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want to start off by taking a quick survey, and it may be one of the most important surveys that has ever been conducted in a church ever. And that is Star Trek. My mom came out of there a little bit. She says Star Trek. Star Trek or Star Wars. So if you are a Star Trek fan, let me see your hands. Okay? A few of you here. All right, how many of you Star Wars fans? Okay, good. All right, so if you said Star Trek, you are wrong. Please make your way out of the building this morning, and then us Christians can get down to business. Get the riffraff out of here. Okay? Those of you that like Star Wars, if you like Star Trek, just sit there. It's okay. Star Wars fans, tell me who's your favorite Star Wars character, whether that's from any of the cartoons, like the books, the movies, the TV shows. Han Solo? Yoda. All right, Yoda, okay. Obi-Wan. Got Obi-Wan here. Chewie, yeah, Chewbacca, all right. Yes. Say that louder. Rex from Clone Wars. See, I've not watched Clone Wars, so I don't know who Rex is. He's back there like, what is wrong with you? You're not the first person to ask me that. Yes? Oh, R2-D2. Yeah. Yes, I know. I know who you're talking about. Even though you've not really watched much of it, you know the thing. Okay, good. Yes, sir. No, he's like lost in space, Mr. Smith. We're over here. He's on a different chapter. You're really not welcome here. That's your lost in space. You know, I like Star Wars, and some of the more recent movies really haven't done it for me. They're interesting, but something that brought me back in, and one of the favorite characters in our household, not my favorite character, but in our household, is Grogu. Do Do you know who Grogu is? If you know who Grogu is, raise your hand. Who knows who Grogu is? Okay, so we have some real fans in here. Most of you probably know him as Baby Yoda. So, yeah, you can hear everybody who's just like a casual, like, oh, yeah, oh, I know who that is. Yeah, that's who that is. We like Grogu. My daughters love Grogu. They call him Baby Yoda. And but he's in the TV show The Mandalorian that Disney has put out, which we really love that show. But one of the things in The Mandalorian kind of takes care of this little Baby Yoda character, and we're learning about who he is and why he's so important to the story. But the Mandalorians are a group, and they have a saying and that they say all the time. You know, it's kind of like Spider-Man, where they always say, with great power comes great responsibility, and you hear it over and over and over again. But with the Mandalorians, what you hear over and over and over and over again is, this is the way. This is the way. And that brings us to what we're going to talk about over the next few weeks, and we want to look at this morning out of John chapter number 14. We're going to be talking about the fact that this is the way. In John 14, we're going to back up. We've read verses 5 and 6, but let's back up just a little bit and look at verse number 1 together. So whether you have your hard copy, your paper Bible, whether you have your phone, your tablet, if you don't have that, we put it on the screen for you. Everybody ought to be able to look at the Word of God for themselves. So don't just take anyone's word for it. Let's look at it together. Verse number 1 says this. This is Jesus speaking. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. So he makes this statement here. And of course, the chapter and verse divisions are all man-made. So we just kind of pick up chapter 14, and we're in the middle of a conversation, and Jesus is just saying, hey, don't be troubled. Now, when we read that, that gets me to question, like, why would they be troubled in the first place? Why would Jesus think that their hearts were upset and bothered anyway? If we were to skip back just a little bit, you can do this on your own time, but I'll just kind of fill you up for those that maybe aren't familiar with what's going on in the conversation. Jesus had just got done telling his disciples that one of them was going to betray him and that he was going to be going away. And so it's in that moment that Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled. And we've all been in circumstances where we've had people that we love leave us for one reason or another. Whether a relationship was broken off, whether somebody that we love has passed away or they've moved away or something else, we've all been in that circumstance where somebody that we love and we care about has left us, and that is so hard. And he uses the word troubled there. The word troubled is the idea of a great storm that comes in. You know, we had a pretty strong storm come through last night with the wind, and I don't know, we didn't get hail around our house, but maybe some of you got some hail and some other things. But we've seen the water, whether it's out at the ocean or somewhere like that, during a storm, that the water gets stirred up, the waves really crash in. That's the idea behind the word troubled here. So Jesus says, listen, don't let your heart be all troubled and torn up inside. And maybe you're here this morning, or maybe you're watching online in our live stream, and you're just troubled today. Jesus has some things that he wants to comfort your heart with. To say, listen, you don't have to be troubled. Your heart does not have to be in turmoil. And he understood, hey, naturally speaking, it's understandable for your heart to be troubled when somebody that you left everything for, because they left everything to follow Jesus. They had spent 3.5 years of their life watching him, following him, learning from him, and now he tells them, I'm leaving you. It's a natural thing for that to stir up their heart to say, I'm upset. That upsets me. But he says, listen, you don't have to be upset. He says, you believe in God, believe me too. Believe me too. Believe what I'm going to tell you. And he has a couple things that he's going to share with them to kind of calm their heart. He says in verse number 2, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? So he lets them know, hey, you don't have to be troubled because I'm going to prepare a place for you. He's using an illustration of a Jewish wedding. Now, for some of us, we may not be as familiar with the custom. So what would happen for this Jewish wedding is the couple would become betrothed to one another. We talked a little bit about that at Christmas time with Mary and Joseph who were betrothed. It's like engagement, but there are some legal ramifications associated with it. So they would get betrothed, and then what the groom would do is he would leave his soon-to-be bride there with her family. He would go to wherever he was from, and he would build an addition onto his father's household. It was a place that he was building and preparing for his bride. And then when that place was all ready, he would go back and surprise his bride. They would have the wedding ceremony, the feast and everything. It was a huge deal. It lasted like a week long. And they would have this celebration, and then he would take his bride back to his father's house, to the place that he had prepared for them. That's the illustration that Jesus is giving to his followers here. And one of the things that the bride had to do, her responsibility was to be prepared when her groom came to get her, and she was to be watching and waiting. Now, we know from Scripture that we are the bride of Christ. If we've trusted Jesus as our Savior, the church is the bride of Christ. And there's a lot we could unpack here. This is not the emphasis of this message or this series, but just a quick challenge to us as believers to be living in expectation for our Savior to come and to get us. Because he could come at any moment, and this groom could come at any moment for his bride. And so he tells them in verse number 3 here, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Now, we kind of read the word if. It says, and if I go. We read the word if like it may happen, it may not happen. The idea behind the word here is since. He's saying, since I am going, you can write it down, I will come again and I will receive you. So it's not a question of whether or not. He's already said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And since I am going, I will come back for you. And there was certainty in his return. So even though he's saying, I'm going to leave you, he's giving them certainty that, yes, I am going, but I am coming back. You can be certain about that. He's trying to calm their heart. He's coming back for his bride. And so that provides some comfort. Comforts them by his sure return. And then he comforts them by letting them know where he's going. He says in verse number 4, and you know the way to where I'm going. He says, you know the way. How many of you like amusement parks? Any of you like amusement parks, Disney and Universal and all that? How many of you hate amusement parks? I was reminded this past week why I hate amusement parks. I hate them. So for those of you that are kind of newer around here, my wife and I spent the last 14 years in Iowa leading our home church where we grew up. And when we were talking about moving here to Florida, we talked to our 4 daughters. And we made a couple of promises to them. First promise was, if we move to Florida, we'll buy you a dog. Because they had been asking us for a dog for a long time. So, moved down here, got a dog. Hi, Coconut. No. Thought about putting the live stream on for him so he can watch him while we're gone. But so we got him a dog. And then the other promise was we'd take him to Harry Potter World because they love Harry Potter. And it was fascinating because we bought the tickets. We were ready to go Wednesday. Tuesday, we had lunch with Sean and Cheyenne, who come to church here. And we're just sitting there getting to know each other. Had not had a chance to really sit down together. So it was our first time really meeting. And out of the blue, Sean just said, "Hey, are you have any plans to go to Disney or Universal or anything?" And we're like, "Actually, we're going tomorrow." And turns out they have season passes to Universal. So we were able to sit down and tell him, "Hey, this is what we're doing. This is what we want." And he gave us all kinds of great instructions. Said, "Okay, if Harry Potter's the thing for them, make sure you take them to Island of Adventure, because there's two parks. There's Universal Studios, and then there's Island of Adventure, and they're kind of connected. But if you only are going to one park, make sure you take them to Island of Adventure." So he said, "Make sure you stay left. When you get to the park, if you go left, that'll take you to Island of Adventure. If you go right, it'll take you to Universal Studios. So stay left." He said, "And then when you get in the park, keep going left. Make your way through Jurassic Park, and then you'll make your way around to Harry Potter World," which is where they wanted to spend majority of their time. So having clear instructions was super helpful, because otherwise I'm just kind of wandering around. And one of the other tips he gave us was to download the Universal app, and it's got a digital map that'll show you where you are and all the rides and all the restaurants and everything, the wait times and everything. So having clear instructions was so helpful. And it's helpful in a lot of areas of life. It's not just helpful spiritually, it's vitally important spiritually. And so Jesus told his disciples, and he's comforting them by not just saying, "Hey, I'm coming back," but also, "Hey, you know where I'm going." Jesus had been very clear up front about his plan and his purpose for coming to earth. He was not trying to hide it from his followers. He was right up front with them. "This is why I came. I came to die. I came to give my life. I came to be a sacrifice to save people from their sins. That's why I came." So he was very upfront about what would happen. And he said to them, "You know where I'm going." And there's some confidence in that. There's some reassurance in that. And then we have this question in verse number 5 that I find a little funny. And probably I see the frustration a little bit. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And this is one of those conversations that I wish I could be there for. Because Jesus just got done saying, "Hey, you know where I'm going. Like, I've talked to you about it. I've told you." And then Thomas is like, "Lord, we have no idea where you're going. And we don't know how to get there." Some of you are married to a Thomas. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you have a conversation with them, and they don't remember anything that you were talking about. Like, you tell them, "Hey, this is what the plan is. This is what we're going to do. Da 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 da." Give it all to them. And then, like, 2 seconds later, they're asking questions about stuff. Like, "I just told you that." This happens to my wife all the time. She is married to a Thomas for sure. Like, I don't know if my brain just tunes her out automatically. I don't know what it is. You know how if you live near where a train passes by, eventually you don't hear the train? Like, I don't know if that's it or what, but just the other day we were having a conversation, and I don't know what I was thinking about. She's telling me about what's going to happen yesterday. So I think Friday we were having a conversation on our way back. I spoke at chapel in Sanford on our way back here, and just kind of going over what Saturday is going to happen, all the events and things like that. And so she tells me, you know, we've got soccer game first thing in the morning, then we're going to go to pop-up prayer, then we have to go to Sam's. And she said, "I know you've got work to do, so you can just stay at home, get your work done. I'll take the girls, and then I can take them to do some shopping." And I kind of heard it a little bit. So she finishes what I've told you and some extra information. And I said to her, "Hey, you know what would be nice? If you if you took the girls like to Barnes and Noble, or because they like to do that, she's like, I just said that. Like, I literally just said I was going to take them to Barnes and Noble, like, yeah, literally 2 seconds before that. Yeah. That's, see, I think Jesus felt a lot like my wife. She's a lot like Jesus in a lot of ways, so. I can imagine Jesus' frustration. Like, what do you mean you don't know? Like, I have spent 3.5 years telling you where I'm going, what I'm doing, what the purpose is. So I imagine there's a little frustration there with Thomas. She gets it. But what I love about Thomas is he has the courage to speak up and ask and clarify anyway. Jesus just got done saying, hey, it's going to be all right. You know where I'm going. Thomas is like, Jesus, we have no clue where you're going. We have no idea how to get there. And what I love about Jesus is he wants us to know for certain. He doesn't want you to hope you make it to heaven. He doesn't want you to have to question or doubt or guess. John literally wrote, these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. He wants us to know for certain that our relationship with God is good and that we have eternal life and that we have a home in heaven. He wants us to know. And maybe you're here today and you're uncertain about your relationship with God. You're uncertain about what's going to happen after this life is over. You don't have to wonder. It doesn't have to be a guessing game. It doesn't have to be, I really hope it's going to happen. You can know. And we don't sense any frustration in Jesus' voice in what he says. He says in verse number 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And you notice how clear he is with Thomas. I want you to get it. I want you to understand. Jesus says, hey, you don't know the way? You don't know where I'm going? Listen, I am the way, Jesus says, and no one's going to the Father except through me. That's what he says. So he very clearly tells them the way and where he's going. I'm the way. I'm going to my Father. And nobody's going to the Father except by me. That's what Jesus said. He didn't say through the pastor, the priest, the pope, or whatever else. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say through the church. He doesn't say by getting baptized. He doesn't say be a good person or give money. Jesus says, I am the way. He is the way. And maybe you're uncertain about your relationship with God. You're uncertain about eternity and all those sorts of things. If you're trusting anything other than Jesus Christ to save you from your sins, you are trusting in the wrong thing. See, it's not just faith that saves you. It's faith in Jesus that saves you. Because I can have faith in all the wrong things. Jesus said, I am the way. That's what he said. And he's not just the way. He is the only way. He says, no one comes to the Father except through me. And you understand that there's no exceptions to that rule. Jesus said it himself. Nobody is getting to the Father except you come through me. He's not just a way. He is the only way. So there's not just, hey, we're all heading the same place. We're all just taking different roads. No. If you're on a different road, you're going the wrong way. You're trusting in the wrong thing. He said, I am the way. Nobody is getting to God except through me. This morning, as I was on social media, just kind of looking through some things, Mike Tucker had shared a verse on social media. And if you don't know who Mike Tucker is, he's an awesome guy. I leave his presence encouraged every time that I'm in it. He's our new fire chief of Flagler County. And so he shared this verse this morning out of Acts chapter 4, verse number 12, and it says this. I don't have it on the screen for you because I just threw this in here this morning. It says this, and there is salvation in no one else, For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And here it's talking about the name of Jesus. That there's no other name. I cannot save you. This church, I love this church. This church cannot save you. The Pope cannot save you. Jesus is the only one that can save you. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And so he's talking about the fact that, listen, you have to believe in me. And you say, well, why is it so important? Why is it so important? Well, because the scripture tells us, and one of the things I love about Jesus is one of the things I love about God is he tells us the truth. He tells us how it is. He says, man, we've all sinned. In other words, we've all done wrong things against God. That's what the word sin means. And because we've sinned, we have earned, Romans 6:23, spiritual death. That's what we've earned. The bottom line of what spiritual death is, eternity in the lake of fire. That's what it is. Separated from God for all eternity. That's what I deserve because I've done wrong. That's what you deserve because you've done wrong. Say, man, that's some horrible news. You're right, it's horrible news. But sometimes horrible news means good news. We had a lady recently in our church, Betty Lake's watching on our live stream right now. Betty Lake has cancer. Wasn't feeling well, thought she had pneumonia, went to the doctor, they did some tests. They said, you have cancer. That's a kick in the gut. That's hard to hear. It's hard to hear you have cancer. But you know what? They told Betty Lake, you have cancer, but we can help you. I pray for Betty. She's going to fight for her life. She's going through chemo and she's doing the steps. But because someone told her she had cancer, she has an opportunity to fight for her life. She has an opportunity to do something about it. And the same is true about our spiritual cancer, if you want to call it that, sin. It sucks for somebody to say to you, you're going to die and burn in the lake of fire because you've done wrong. Like, that's horrible. But somebody who loves you will tell you that. You know why? Because then you can do something about it. Because Jesus came to this earth and he suffered in our place. He took our punishment upon himself. He took God's judgment that you and I rightfully deserved. He says, hey, if you believe in me, you don't have to die. I'll give you everlasting life instead. And maybe you're here today and you've been trusting in something else. Trusting in anything else will get you exactly what you and I deserve, and that is eternal death. Believing in Jesus as the way is the only way that you and I can have eternal life. And so maybe you're here today and you say, I don't know the way to the Father. Well, you should after today. Jesus made it very clear for us that he is the way. And I want to ask you this morning, have you trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Like, I'm not just saying, oh, I believe there's God, or I believe that Jesus was a person. No, do you trust Jesus to save you from your sins? If not, today's the day. If you have trusted in Jesus as the way of salvation, what are you doing to point people to the way? What are you doing to help people get on that path to find Jesus? Because we just think about what's going on with Betty's life. How much would you have to hate somebody to know they have something like that and not tell them about it? Like, as a doctor, you get yourself in a lot of trouble. If you knew somebody had cancer and you refused to tell them, you'd get yourself in a lot of trouble. Well, how much do you have to hate somebody to know they're on their way to eternal death and not tell them there's a way of escape? Like, not tell them that Jesus has already paid the price for your sin. And so, yes, the disciples were all in a whirlwind because Jesus was leaving them, but he left them that comfort that says, hey, I'm coming back. Like, if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming back for you. There's comfort in that. Not just comfort in the fact that he's coming back, but comfort in the fact that we can know. We can know the way. There doesn't have to be an uncertainty to it. We can know for certain. John 14, verse number 5, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you've not trusted Jesus to be your Savior, today is the day to trust him as the way,